With your Amex card, entertainment benefits like special ticket access and pre-sales to select can't-miss events while supplies last, make every tap music to your ears.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We are the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying
a podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio, Season 9.
Love at first listen.
We're older, we're wiser, and we're podcasting through a new decade of our lives.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
And getting to the heart of our stories.
We're going places we've never gone before, and we're bringing you along with us.
With new segments, correspondence, and a brand new sound.
Season 9 is kicking off with an intimate interview with Grammy Award-winning singer-songwriter Natalia Lafourcade. What's giving you hope right now?
Well, when I see what music does to people, it gives me a lot of hope.
If you liked Locatora before, you're gonna love Season 9.
Subscribe to our show and you'll see why Locatora is your prima's favorite podcast.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the My Cultura Podcast Network, available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey everyone, welcome into the Fantasy Bros Football Podcast. I'm Bobby Sylvester, joined as always by Mike Tagliere, and today we're going to be talking Week 8 DFS, talking FanDuel, DraftKings, primarily cash games. We're also going to get to GPP at the end and give our lock of the week, our stack of the week. Tags, how you doing, man?
I'm doing good. I don't know if I'm just getting old or if I don't know things, Bobby, because I was like perusing Twitter this morning and I saw Thirsty Thursday is what it said. I don't even know what that means.
Well, it's like most college students have classes on either Monday and Wednesday or Tuesday and Thursday. So a lot of their weeks are done on Thursday afternoon. So that's the big college drinking day.
Ah, you see, I did not know that. So I learn something new every day.
Yeah. I also want to let you guys know that we have a new podcast. It's the Betting Pros Podcast. You guys will know the host. It's Dan Harris. He hosts the Sunday Night Fantasy Pros Football Podcast where Tags and Dan do the recap show. And Dan is just absolutely awesome. So he's over there killing it at the Betting Pros Podcast. You can find it at bettingpros.com/podcast. And basically what it is, this podcast is 100% dedicated to covering the NFL. Each week, we're going to have top sports betting guests join us to analyze the lines for each game and break down their favorite bets. If listeners go to bettingpros.com/podcast, you can check out our best bets for Week 8 episode, which should be up by Friday. All right, Tags, you ready to jump into this, man?
Ready to rock, dude.
I guess there is a little bit of news, but it doesn't really matter for DFS. Like, if you're listening to this show, by the way, and you don't play DFS, it's still going to help you out for your season-long leagues. We're going to be talking about salaries and stuff, so that doesn't matter as much. But just in terms of, production and who they're going up against and everything along those lines, game script, we're going to be covering a lot of stuff that we couldn't get to in the starter sit show, especially with some of these guys that are more locks to play or even really deep guys we'll get to as well. You know, if you don't usually listen to this show, tune in. Tags and I are going to be talking about our competition that we have coming up with you guys here at about the, 15 or 20 minute mark. On yesterday's show, I said that it was going to be like at the very start of the show. I was wrong. Sorry, I don't have as much control of that stuff as I thought I did. So we'll talk about it at like the 15, 20 minute mark. Tags, let's go running backs this week on FanDuel and DraftKings cash games. Can you explain what cash games are?
Yeah, cash games are basically where you would go and you join a contest and the top half of contestants that are in that contest would double their money. Well, close to double their money. There's obviously like a 10% rake in most contests, but you essentially double your money. You just need to finish in the top half of the contest, beat the average score essentially. Whereas in tournaments, when you go to play GPP tournaments, those are more top heavy where it's like, you know, the top 20, top 10% might be paid out and you have to kind of like play with the percentages like ownership and look at all those numbers where you essentially have to go against the grain a little bit in order to finish in the top. So you're looking for more upside. But, you know, Bobby, I would say, is probably like the better tournament player because he's usually willing to go outside the box, whereas I'm usually the better cash game player because I'm I'm almost too logical to play like very well in tournaments. And honestly, Bobby, I get stuck with it every week. I play a lot of cash and then I go in and I mix in tournaments. I'm like, oh, I feel like this is the week where I can do tournaments.
It's like an abstract concrete thing, man. We have totally different brains.
Yes, it's true. And that's the thing is, so basically every week I talk myself into playing more tournaments and I'm like, I really should have just stuck to cash.
It's usually the opposite for me, man.
Oh, that's
which
crazy.
Is kind of funny. But you know, this week there are some really good cash options at the running back position. And when we say cash options, it again means the players that are safer, that you can expect to hit value. And value for cash games is 2.5x. So the way you calculate that is you're going to look at the salaries. Le'Veon Bell is $7,000 on FanDuel, right? So it's 7 times 2.5. So essentially what he needs is he needs 17 fantasy points. He's going to get that this week against Jacksonville, right?
I would assume he would, yeah. I mean, I would say Le'Veon Bell's probably a safe cash play this week. It seems Marcell Dareus is going to be off of the Jaguars. That came out. He had to go see a specialist, so I'm guessing he's going to miss some time. And that opened some holes. They weren't a good run defense to begin with. So, yeah, Le'Veon Bell is probably one of the safer cash game plays.
Is there somebody that you like more at the higher end? Saquon Barkley's expensive. Chris Carson, Leonard Fournette. I'm fond of all four of these guys.
You didn't even mention Christian McCaffrey. I'm disappointed in you.
Christian McCaffrey against San Francisco, you're going to play him at 96. Well, I guess he's 9,600 on FanDuel. What is he on DraftKings?
9,200.
9,200. I mean, well, that's $300 more expensive than Saquon. On FanDuel, he's $1,000 more expensive.
He kind of should be, man. Like, I'm done. I really don't care what the price is for Christian McCaffrey anymore. I don't care who he's playing. It doesn't matter. This is a guy, like, he has finished as the RB9 or better. Like, this is ridiculous, actually. The RB9 or better in 13 of his last 15 games played, including 8 top 3 finishes. So, you have a 60% chance, essentially, of getting a top 3 performance out of him. This is stupid, man. He's coming off his bye week. He's well-rested. I know the 49ers are a tough defense, but if you look at the competition they've played, I'm not saying they're not good. They are a good defense. They're really good. Like, obviously, revamping the front seven, getting the free agent acquisitions, getting Bosa in the draft, having him fall to you when he should have went number one overall. There's some things that the 49ers have done well. They're trending in the right direction, but they have not played Christian McCaffrey.
You're right. They haven't played Christian McCaffrey. And the funny thing is, like, Christian McCaffrey has one game where he only had 6 points. He has one game where he had 20. Besides that, 26, 29, 38, 45. And the thing is, it's not like he's gone up against easy competition. Tampa Bay has the best run defense in the NFL so far. He's faced them twice. Arizona, Houston. Sorry, go ahead, Tex.
No, I got to tell you this before I forget to do it. The competition. Here are the running backs the 49ers have played to this point. Peyton Barber, Joe Mixon, James Conner, Nick Chubb, okay, Malcolm Brown, Adrian Peterson. Those are the running backs that they've played.
That's not an impressive group. So.
No, it's not.
I don't know. I mean, I guess Christian McCaffrey is safe, a safe bet to get 20. He's done it in 5 out of 6 weeks. I just think there might be better options this week. I don't have him in my cash lineup right now, Tags.
Oh, I am not playing Christian McCaffrey ever again. Like, I've learned my lesson. I'm fully aboard this. Like, if they raised his price to 10K, I'd probably still play him because, like, the guy's opportunity, like, looking at the scores, and, like, you know, I talked about this on the other show that we did, is that I developed this, like, little chart, and DraftKings is a PPR format, and so basically, carries are worth 1, and targets in the passing game are worth 2.3. So, because basically targets, the average target is worth 2.3 more times more than a carry would be. So, looking at the average opportunity, Christian McCaffrey's score is 38 on average. He has never received fewer than 29.8, where the next closest is Leonard Fournette at 33. No other running back is over 29. So, it's like he's the opportunity he's getting, knowing that Kyle Allen is basically playing for his job, he's got to play this game safe. They're going to ask him to manage the game, and knowing that Christian McCaffrey is the key to that success, it's a zone heavy scheme in San Francisco, so, like, dump offs to the tight ends, running backs are a real thing. So, yeah, I especially with the pass rush that San Francisco brings, so Kyle Allen should be dumping down to McCaffrey a lot. You should rack up the targets. Again, I am never gonna fade Christian McCaffrey. I can't do it.
So we have someone who's just as good playing this weekend, and he's not playing against a top 5 run defense. He's playing against a bottom 5 run defense. So are you telling me you're playing Christian McCaffrey over Saquon Barkley, or are you playing them both?
I am playing them both. Yes.
Oh, man. All right, let's go.
Yeah, no, Saquon is a fantastic play against Detroit. That game has a projected over-under of 49 right now. I kind of see this as a higher scoring game. Detroit's probably going to throw the ball a little bit more with Kerryon Johnson out. Daniel Jones has been struggling a little bit. Detroit they've been a terrible run defense. We don't even know if they're going to have Snacks Harrison in this game. He had to leave late in the fourth quarter last week. I mean, again, we still have a couple days of practice to figure out if he's going to play, but that run defense this year in Detroit has been atrocious. And Saquon is a safe play too. I mean, you have to find value at wide receiver, obviously, when you're paying up for McCaffrey and Barkley. But if I can get them both into my lineup, I absolutely would.
I'm paying up for two running backs as well. I'm not paying all the way up for Christian McCaffrey an extra $1,000. I'm paying for Saquon Barkley and Leonard Fournette. Leonard Fournette's going up against the Jets. He gets like 30 touches per game tags. And I mean, let's look at this. Last week he had 31. Week before, 26, 27, 31. We know he's going to get 25 plus touches. He's likely going to get 30 plus. Gardner Minshew is a little bit banged up as well. And his price on FanDuel is just great. $7,700. He's the fifth most expensive running back tags.
Yeah, that sounds like a fairly good deal. On DraftKings, he's $7,800. So he's the third most pricey running back. I like Fournette. So obviously the opportunity I mentioned, the opportunity is there for him, even in PPR formats. The question is like, does he start scoring touchdowns? Like those have to come. Like he has to start scoring a little bit more. And the Jets have allowed 8 rushing touchdowns this year. That's the most in the NFL. So this could be a week where he absolutely smashes. And that's why Leonard Fournette to me is like a great tournament play. Some people might fade him. They might move off of him just trying to get cute. But I'd rather play him in tournaments, I think, than cash, just because like the scoring opportunities have been less. And honestly, which is the weirdest thing in the world to me, Leonard Fournette over the course of his career has been terrible on the goal line. Like if you like goal to go inside the 5-yard line, he's been one of the least efficient running backs in football. So that's like the concern with Leonard Fournette for me, which is why I mean Barkley hasn't really been good in the red zone either, but that's a story for a different day. But I can't really fault you for playing Leonard Fournette in cash. The opportunity is definitely there.
Like on FanDuel, I guess it makes more sense because for Leonard Fournette is $1,900 cheaper. And on DraftKings, it's a lot closer, right? I guess Christian McCaffrey, Saquon Barkley on DraftKings, Leonard Fournette, Saquon Barkley on FanDuel. Who else do you like at running back? For me, I'm going all the way down to Ty Johnson as my flex play. 67% of the touches.
I know, but he's a $4,900. It feels like Latavius Murray, but in a worse, lesser offense. I mean, they're 6.5-point favorites.
Much better matchup.
Yeah, I mean, well, the Bears, that's a story. That's something else too. But Ty Johnson at 4,900, I feel like I wish his price was a little bit lower. I think you can consider him if you're going cheap. Latavius Murray's 5,800. He's like right around there. Obviously plays in a better offense. And then going against Arizona, they're even a bigger home favorite at 10.5 points. So
he's the 41st most expensive running back tags. Like, he's a top 20 running back this week against the Giants, right?
He is, but Latavius is...
That's a huge difference.
But I have Latavius as a top 10 running back, and he is only...
Oh, yeah, I forgot you're that crazy. Man.
Well, I mean, this obviously hinges on the fact that Alvin Kamara doesn't play. If Kamara plays, then obviously I'm out.
I mean, but Arizona has a good run defense, and Latavius Murray doesn't catch the ball especially well.
I don't think that they do have a good run defense. I think the numbers that they've allowed over the first so many weeks were basically a product of teams able to just throw the ball against them.
Knowing they could pass against them, so they might as well just pass it 40 times. Sure. Okay, that makes sense.
Easier to attack that part of the field where looking at there's only been, I think, 2 running backs that have totaled at least 18 carries against them. And both of those guys scored over 18 fantasy points, PPR points. And for 5,800 for Latavius, again, talking about in cash, you're looking for him to score, 14 points, PPR points? That's nothing with Alvin Kamara out of the lineup.
Right. And you know what? He had 5 receptions last week, too. I'm eating my words about him getting work in the passing game. I'm still going Ty Johnson, though.
Well, think about that, too. I talked about that in the start sit show about basically them having Michael Thomas shadowed by Patrick Peterson, which could lead to even more targets for Latavius Murray.
That's true. That's a good point. Anybody else that you would even consider at the running back position? We talked Fournette, Le'Veon Bell, Saquon Barkley, Christian McCaffrey, Latavius Murray, Ty Johnson. I think there's a couple others where you wouldn't be stupid if you played them, but I would prefer not to.
Yeah, I mean, I think we've covered the ones that you really should be considering. That there's some really good tournament plays that I like, just because there's a lot of different price points that you can kind of go towards. Can we talk about a couple cheap like running back options? Like if you're going really low, let's say that someone wants...
Sure, like for cash games?
Yeah, so if someone wants to go below, you know, well, Ty Johnson at 4,900 is not bad, but if you want to go lower... Do you think David Montgomery at 4,400 is viable?
This is going to make you cringe, Tags. I'd rather play Joe Mixon at 4,600.
I mean, I don't really hate it, I guess.
I mean, I hate it. I like it more than David Montgomery.
See, and Mixon at 4,600 is so stupid. Like,
isn't it crazy?
Well, it's dumb because he should be used a lot more in the passing game. And if he was, like, it'd be so easy to play him at 46. And I know that some...
He's cheaper than Carlos Hyde, Tags. If I would have told you at the beginning of the season, Carlos Hyde would be more expensive than Joe Mixon, you would laugh so hard.
Yeah, in a PPR format, too. Carlos Hyde has caught, like, one pass this year. I mean, like, he's just not targeted. Like, he's got more than that, but...
I mean, he's the top five receiving running back in the NFL. I would put Le'Veon Bell there. Austin Eckler's probably number one, or Christian McCaffrey. Le'Veon Bell's in there. I would put Nyheim Hines in that conversation, and Joe Mixon. That's my top five.
Yeah, there's definitely Saquon Barkley's obvious up there for me too, but I've compared his skill set to Le'Veon Bell, so obviously I think he's a great receiver, and it's just frustrating to see him not used in that role. And that's why if he was used in the passing game, like if I saw Joe Mixon even getting three targets per game, I would say, yes, 4,600, you just play him. You put him in your lineup and you deal with the fact that he plays for a crappy offense. That game is in London. We expect them to be behind. Like, obviously, you know, the Rams are double-digit favorites in that game, I believe. So it's rough, man. I'm not going down to that range, but I just wanted to talk about those options in case someone was like, is there a cheap option? Like, maybe even a flex player that you could find down there.
Well, I've got a guy, Tags, who needs 12 points to hit value, 2.5x value. And he's got 12 plus points in every single game this year. James White, what do you think about this one?
I like James White, but you can actually get Ty Johnson for cheaper on DraftKings, for $200 cheaper. I like James White a lot, and I think that...
I like White more this week than Ty Johnson if they were the same price.
I kind of do too, but I for whatever reason, it's just like you don't feel as safe doing it. We should, though. We really should. Like with James White averaging 9 targets per game over the last 4, that's a lot. And to get him at 5,100, it's like think about a wide receiver playing in a high-scoring offense that was getting 9 targets a game and it cost just 5,100. We would be playing him, right? It's just the running back spots are so valuable just because you're getting those guaranteed touches. But James White, in terms of opportunity... He's in that low-end RB2 range, maybe even moving towards mid-level RB2. And at 5,100, I don't think it's a bad play at all. I'll say that. And I don't think that Mohamed Sanu is going to be like up to, like all of a sudden he's going to get targeted 8 times when he walks in the lineup. We know that Josh Gordon's obviously gone. So I don't think it's a bad spot for James White, honestly. He actually, in terms of my rankings and what things pop up, he's actually showing is the best value for cash lineups. It's just a matter of, do you feel comfortable enough to play him?
Our model really likes him. Our model also really likes, we didn't talk about Josh Jacobs against Houston. He's 5,800. Tevin Coleman against Carolina. It's a bad matchup. But 5,000 for the San Francisco lead back. Chris Carson at Atlanta. I'm sure we'll talk about some of these guys in GPP. But our model's fond of those guys on DraftKings. Now on FanDuel, our model says Fournette, Bell, Barkley, Carson, Murray. So we named all those guys. Tags, let's move on over to the wide receiver position. Actually, you know what? Before we do, we have a draft to do here.
Oh, yeah, that's right. We just talked about Joe Mixon, didn't we?
This is going to tell us what we have to do in the competition. Halloween harkens thoughts of ghouls and goblins, but it's also known for its distinctive color scheme, orange and black. And which non-Broncos NFL team is also known for this color scheme? Why, it's those wily Cincinnati Bengals. So for the Halloween challenge, you each... be required to roster 3 Cincinnati players in addition to their DST. What? 4 Cincinnati players? There's like no way we're going to win. Everyone's going to beat us.
And I just want to say that I dare anybody out there to try and do this challenge with us and beat us at that, because we're going to get beat. Like if you're playing,
what?
If you don't have to play by these rules, you'd better beat us, because this is probably the toughest one yet, Bobby.
Holy cow, dude, this is rough. This is really rough. So I guess we're going to do a draft. And I've been instructed that since I did not take Gooey Buttercake to the face, it's not a snake draft. You get the first pick in every single round. How do you feel about that? I mean, you're going to need the advantage because I beat you in these things every single time.
You're probably right. I probably do need the advantage. This is ugly, man. Really, like, is there anybody in the Bengals that anybody's even considering this week?
Well, if you are, then you really need to listen to this show, because we're going to talk you out of it.
Oh, man. All right. So
you should take AJ Green, Tags, with the first pick.
So I'm pulling up the Bengals here.
He's in drills. He's been limited, but he's been practicing this week.
All right. So I'm going to go ahead and take Tyler Boyd at number 1.
That's really the only pick.
To me, on both sides, actually, he's a really, really good value this week. He's 5,600 on FanDuel. He's 5,100 on DraftKings. This is a guy that he saw 14 targets last week. And I know that they didn't translate to much, but the target share that he's getting there is kind of ridiculous. Like, in terms of targets per game, he is third in the NFL behind only Michael Thomas and Cooper Kupp.
I guess I'm going to go with good old Joe Mixon over under 5 rushing yards as my running back.
Oh, man. Well, good luck with that. We know that it's going to be tough for him. All right. I think I'm going to stick with the receivers here. Man, this is really tough, though, because now that we know that Jalen Ramsey is with the Rams, it's like I said, dude, this is rough. This is really rough. Oh, I mean, I guess I'll go Auden Tate. I can't see them shadowing. I don't know. I'm at a loss here, Bobby.
Yeah, this is pretty bad. By the way, you guys are going to be able to compete against us for prizes, and you will have no trouble beating us. So,
yes, this is true.
You guys are going to want to pay attention to the offer here in just a moment. I guess I'll go Andy Dalton, man. I don't know. You know what? I'm going to leave the whole passing stack for you. You can have Andy Dalton.
Oh, well, thank you. Thank you for doing that.
No. Well, hold on a second. What happens if I lose this bet? We need to come up with some terms.
Well, the terms that we're going to do that James and I had discussed is that we have our live stream next Tuesday, and it's Halloween, obviously, coming. So
that's on YouTube, by the way, youtube.com/fantasypros if you want to check it out.
So whoever loses, the other person gets to pick their costume for the live stream.
Oh, yikes.
I like it.
I mean, I think that's really good, but please don't embarrass me too much. I think I'm going to lose since you have Tyler Boyd, the only good guy. You know what? I'm going to go with a completely different strategy here and save a bunch of money. So I'm going to go all the way down and get CJ Uzama, $4,300.
That's pretty bold, my friend.
Your third pick. You going Andy Dalton?
I think I know. No, because the thing is like with I'm debating Alex Erickson. I'm basically just taking all three of the wide receivers and just like.
Because you know they're going to get 2 touchdowns unless CJ Uzama gets both of them?
No, he's not getting both of them. But I mean, this is so stupid. I don't really know how to feel here, man. This is rough. I'm too logical for this stuff. Giovanni Bernard not working out for me. Okay. I guess I'm going to play Dalton. I mean, yeah, it is what it is. I have to go with that. I don't know. This is bad.
I'm skipping Alex Harrison. Let's save some more money. I'm going Tyler Eifert in my flex.
Wow. I mean, that's bold, my friend.
Everything's bold. We're picking the Cincinnati Bengals. Oh, yeah, and we got the Cincinnati Bengals defense, so I now have more money to spend than I can possibly spend. This is not good. Let me fill out the rest of my lineup really quick just to see if I can even make this work. Yeah, okay. This is going to be all right.
This is not going to be all right.
I'm going to get at least 200 points, and I'm going to make you wear something extremely embarrassing. Actually, I'm not. I'm going to make it pretty modest so that, you know, if I lose, you do it to me, too.
Well, I appreciate that, buddy.
Okay, so FanDuel has more ways to win cash prizes and once-in-a-lifetime experiences during every single game, every single week. If you've never played FanDuel Fantasy Football before, that's great because new users are going to get $20 in site credit if they deposit $20. This week, FanDuel is hosting a Fantasy Pros Beat the Experts contest that we just told you about. You can play against Tags and I for $2,500 in cash prizes, free FanDuel contest entries, and epic bragging rights. Although I'm really not sure that you'll be able to brag that much if you beat Tags and I with 4 Cincinnati Bengals in our lineup. The contest is just $5 to enter, with first place getting $500. And the 25 users with the highest scores, who beat both Tags and I, are going to get a free entry into next week's Sunday Million contest, where you can play for millions in cash prizes. If that's not enticing enough, then let's not forget that nearly half of the playing field is going to double their money in this contest. All right, so we talked about how it's going to be a Halloween theme. Tags is going to be in the most ridiculous costume. And if you want to get in on the fun, go to FanDuel.com/TagsandBobby, all lowercase. Once again, that's FanDuel.com/TagsandBobby, one word, all lowercase. Make your first deposit to get started, and you'll get an extra $5 in site credit every week for 4 weeks. Good luck, everyone. You are not going to need it.
That's very true.
All right. I changed the words on that ad rate a little bit because you guys won't need the luck. Yeah. Usually, you know what? You guys have been whooping us because of all these things that we have to do.
Yeah, it's pretty rough. Not going to lie.
Tags, let's go to the wide receiver position. It's a lot different on FanDuel and DraftKings because on DraftKings, the best values are always a lot cheaper. On FanDuel, the best values at wide receiver are usually the more expensive guys.
Yeah, the value at wide receiver this week, I mean, we already talked about Tyler Boyd at 5,100. I mean, to get a guy with that target share, I know that the matchup against the Rams isn't a great one, but I don't know, and that's, I guess, part of the issue, is that we don't know if Jalen Ramsey is going to be assigned to just kind of follow Tyler Boyd around. Some teams have done that, and it would really hurt his production. Like, that would be the killer, which is the reason that you can use to, like, kind of get off of him in cash. But Cortland Sutton at 5,300 seems like a pretty good value to me. Sutton has been the number one receiver in Denver, and that's before Emmanuel Sanders was even moved away. He has seen at least 7 targets in every game. They're going to play the Colts defense, who...
Doesn't that concern you? I mean, the Colts have been really good. They shut down Kansas City. They shut down Houston. They shut down Atlanta.
They shut down a vertical passing game pretty well, but they're a team that will allow a lot of the underneath stuff. They're willing to kind of keep the play in front of them. And that's basically what Joe Flacco is going to be looking to do, kind of keep the play in front of them. Indianapolis has allowed 5 different wide receivers to total at least 100 yards against them. And I mean, there's been 5-6 wide receivers who have seen at least 7 targets against them this year. And every one of those guys has scored at least 12.6 fantasy points, or PPR points. And that's basically all you need out of Cortland Sutton at 5,300 on DraftKings.
I mean, I get it. I'm just too concerned about Indianapolis because they're a team that you can't really predict. They scheme so well. Every game plan is completely different on defense. They'll take away your strengths, and Cortland Sutton is their strength. I don't want to play Cortland Sutton this week in cash games. I know Tyler Boyd gets a ton of targets. I don't want to play him either. He's got 6, 4, 9 PPR points in 3 out of his 7 games so far this season. I mean, if that happens, it's a really big bummer. I'd rather go super safe.
Who's your safe plays then? That's the thing, is like, unless you're paying up.
At a very similar price, a little bit cheaper actually. Dede Westbrook, let's look at how many targets he's been getting. About the same amount as Tyler Boyd. He's got more double-digit PPR games than Tyler Boyd this year.
He's brutal. His matchup is brutal, though, against the Jets. The Jets haven't been, like, a bad defense in terms of, like, their secondary. And especially in the slot. Brian Poole has been the best player in that secondary. He's done really good. Dede Westbrook at 45. I mean, I know he's seen an increase in targets lately, but DJ Chark is, like, a guy that... he's going to kind of come back on the radar. I mean, Dede Westbrook is a guy that I talked about playing cash against the Saints, and then he had, like, not a very good game. So it's like, I'm kind of burned on him with Minshew playing a little bit less than ideal right now in a tougher matchup than people think. But if you want to go that cheap, I mean, I'll go down to Corey Davis at 4,400.
You're going to play Corey Davis in a cash game. I thought about saying it, but I thought you would laugh at me.
No, seriously, like, you're following the targets. He saw 7 targets last week. Him and Tannehill had a connection. You can't move the ball on the ground against Tampa Bay. They've allowed just 2.7 yards per carry, and that's against, like, legitimately some of the best running backs in the NFL, including Christian McCaffrey twice. So it's not a fluke. Like, they're a really good run defense. Corey Davis, I like at 4,400.
I'm starting to think there's just so many question marks at the wide receiver position. I'm starting to think maybe I'll go down and get James White and Ty Johnson, and then just roll out Saquon Barkley, so I have money to spend at wide receiver, because it's just so ugly at wide receiver this week.
It is, but they're not giving you value on the bigger guys. Like, even though Julio hasn't been great, he's at 77. Hopkins has, like, gotten 12 targets in the last 2 games, so obviously he's going to be up there.
Hopkins is the play if you're going up.
Yeah, he's 8,100. Like, you're paying for him, though. That's the issue. So, like, when you play him at 8,100, you're in a cash game. You need at least 20 PPR points, and that's... that hasn't been a number that he's hit constantly this year. And so it's like, when you're paying up, you need to make sure. And that's why at the running back position, you know you're getting the touches, where it's like with Hopkins, I don't even know if you're guaranteed the targets, because it's like, this is a game against Oakland where I don't see a ton of pass attempts, but in the pass attempts that they do have, they should be highly efficient. I have Hopkins as my number one receiver, but I don't think I could pay up for him in cash. That's the issue. If you can, great, but I just can't find the cash to do it.
What about Kenny Golladay against the Giants? It's likely he's going to be shadowed by Janoris Jenkins, but, I mean, Kenny Golladay, besides last week, has been awesome.
Yeah, I do like Golladay. Like, 64, he's not coming at much of a discount. I might just kind of go to Keenan Allen a little bit safer. He's, like, the number one there, and the Bears have not been the same defense this year. So, I mean, it's kind of pick pick one or the other. I like them both.
They're a similar price on DraftKings because on FanDuel, it's a $1,000 difference.
Oh, yeah. No, they're the exact same price on DraftKings.
Holy cow. Yeah, I would much rather use Keenan Allen on DraftKings then.
Just a little bit safer because like Marvin Jones could have another one of those games. It's a good matchup against the Giants. So I like Galladay. I do. But Keenan Allen, you really don't have to worry about like the Bears. The receivers that they've been beat against this year are route runners, like pure route runners. And Mike Williams is not that. Mike Williams is more of like the contested catch receiver, whereas Keenan's the route runner. So, yeah, I just feel a little bit safer with Keenan Allen. But again, like the prices this week on receivers are really tough, like to find ones that you feel confident in. That's why Tyler Boyd at 5,100, it's just like those targets.
That's not bad. Yeah.
You can't find double digit targets for 5,100. And the one other play that I'll mention that a guy that when he's in the lineup, he's averaged 9 targets per game and he's only 4,700 on DraftKings. Do you know who I'm talking about, Bobby?
Kenny Stills?
Christian Kirk.
I was just going based on the $4,700. He was the first guy I saw.
Yeah, no.
I wasn't even close.
Yeah, Stills is like not a bad play, but $4,700 is not like you're not getting a big discount on him. But Christian Kirk, yeah, like when he's in the lineup, he actually saw more targets than Larry Fitzgerald when he was in the lineup. He was close to returning last week, so I'm assuming that he's going to play this game. New Orleans is down not only their starting slot cornerback in P.J. Williams, who's suspended, but they also lost Patrick Robinson last week to a hamstring injury against the Bears. So they're legitimately down to a third string slot cornerback. And knowing that Kirk and Fitzgerald both play the slot, I don't know what they're going to do because Lattimore typically doesn't go into the slot at all. So Christian Kirk is very interesting. He might be a better tournament play just because he is coming off a multi-week injury, but he's a guy that does see a lot of targets.
So Tags, I've been saving my favorite cash game play. This is a guy who every single week gets a bunch of targets. He's got 50 plus yards in every week. He's got 10-plus PPR points in every week, and he has the easiest matchup in the NFL this week on the entire slate. It's John Brown. What do you think about him this week? 5,900 against Philly.
I really do understand the logic, and I've ranked John Brown relatively high this week. But if you're going to do that, why not pay $100 more and get Allen Robinson?
I like Allen Robinson, too.
Yeah, Allen Robinson, actually, that was the last name I wanted to bring up in terms of like that price range because like the dude's just getting targeted. Like, Trubisky's been bad. Chase Daniel hasn't been good. But
Casey Hayward's going to be on Allen Robinson, though, right?
No, they're playing a lot of zone. They're not even traveling with receivers. And even if Casey Hayward covers him, like, Allen Robinson has shown, like, he's elite. Like,
I think we need to talk about this, Tex. Is he a top 6 talented wide receiver in the NFL right now?
People called me a homer, and they called me a lot of other things when I posted a list of my favorite wide receivers. Like, and this was going back to last year when Amari Cooper was still with the Raiders. I posted my list of in terms of most talented wide receivers in the NFL, and I had Amari as a top 10 receiver. I think I had Robinson as a top 15, and people laughed. They said Amari sucks, and then they said that Allen Robinson doesn't even belong in that conversation and that I'm a homer.
Look, I get it if you want to look at stats and say Allen Robinson hasn't been a top 15 guy, but if you go sit down and watch the tape with Allen Robinson, with Blake Bortles and Mitch Trubisky, he's one of the best wide receivers in the game. This is coming from someone who hates everything about Chicago sports. I hate the Bears. Tags, I let you know that all the time. Allen Robinson is awesome.
He is. He's so good. And that's the thing. If Trubisky even like legitimately goes back to the quarterback, he even was last year, Allen Robinson would be even 20 times better. So it's like, it's 6K.
Right. And he's been great so far this year. I mean, he's a stud.
Yeah. Getting tons of targets too. He's another one he's seen at least 7 targets in every game. He saw 16 targets against the Saints last week. So yeah, I'm a big fan of Allen Robinson.
Man, it would be nice if my Jags still had Allen Robinson with DJ Chark and DD Westbrook. And then the mustache man.
Gardner Minshew.
Any other wide receivers you want to talk about? I mean, we have not really come to an agreement on many of these guys. It's pretty bad out there.
No, yeah, cash is a little bit tough this week. Usually, like, I'm locked in on a few guys where the player pool is a little bit bigger this week, where it's like I don't feel like extremely confident in many players. A lot of them are mid-range, but that's the thing, is if I want to pay up for the running backs, that means I'm gonna have to find some value at receiver. And that's why I talked about Corey Davis, man. Like, against Tampa's secondary is atrocious, man.
What about Cooper Kupp against Cincinnati with all their secondary banged up?
There's just so many avenues there, right? And it could be a situation like last week where the Rams have so many different options, and it's going to come back around the tournament side of things where
they're going to be able to run the ball 30 times for 5,000 yards.
That's exactly why when I was just about to say, when we get to the tournament section, like, Todd Gurley is one of my favorite tournament plays at running back.
Golden Tate against Detroit this week. Detroit's defense is all banged up. I forget who it is out for the week in their secondary.
Darius Slay is, I think he's going to be out, yeah.
Yeah, it is Darius Slay. And Golden Tate's been getting a ton of targets, 20 in the past 2 weeks, 182 yards even against New England. He put up 22 points. He's the only wide receiver to score a touchdown on them this year. I think Golden Tate's a solid play.
Yeah, I like Tate. I mean, it's a revenge game for him, too. You got to think about the narrative, Bobby. Don't forget that.
I don't care about that stuff, man.
I'm kidding, but it's kind of funny, though.
And then Chris Godwin against Tennessee.
You're paying for it.
He's really good, but he's just so expensive. It's a good defense. I just want to mention him because a lot of people are going to have some money to spend with, you know, with the values out there. Latavius Murray, Ty Johnson. And the tight ends and quarterbacks we're going to be talking about as well, that I think some people are going to want to spend up on Chris Godwin, but I don't think it's especially safe this week.
Yeah, 7,100 against Tennessee. In Tennessee, they've been the sixth best team against wide receivers this year. It just doesn't feel like a smash spot for him, and with what you're paying for him, you kind of need him to be in that 20-point range.
All right, Tags, let's go to the quarterback position. Who are you liking this week?
Matthew Stafford at 61.
I'm with you.
I like him a lot.
In fact, I don't even want to talk about anybody else. It's Matthew Stafford for me.
Yeah, I like Stafford a lot. I mean, there's different price points, right? Like, if you can get to Russell Wilson, awesome, at 72. Like, it's Atlanta. I mean, the concern with Atlanta, the real concern, is that Matt Ryan doesn't play, which is possible. I don't know if he plays. Like, the sprained ankle that he has is, like, considered, like, a high ankle sprain, and that's off his...
By the way, Patrick Mahomes might play. That is stupid.
That's not happening. They need to say... They're saving him from himself. Like, against that Packers pass rush? No. There's no way they put him out there. I think this is all gamesmanship. But either way, you're not playing Mahomes. He's not even on the slate. He's actually on the primetime. But Russell Wilson, the only concern is that Matt Ryan, he cannot... So it's his plant foot. Like, so that means if he drops back to pass and it's his plant foot that he has to push off of, that's why I don't see Matt Ryan playing.
Yeah. How is Seattle only a 3.5 point favorite? That one's easy.
No, I've picked that one like on Betting Pros. I have picked that. In terms of like five stars, like, I don't know how that is even a thing, because I think it's just because Matt Ryan hasn't been ruled out. And I think you're going to see that line escalate quite a bit. But yeah, if Matt Ryan doesn't play, that's the concern, is that they're not going to... We know the Seahawks don't like to throw the ball a whole lot as it is. Russell Wilson will be extremely efficient. If you're paying $7,200 for a quarterback, you kind of need him to throw a little bit. But again, the Falcons are so bad. That's why I'm saying if you can get up there, I'm not opposed to playing Russell Wilson. The midpoint quarterback is Matthew Stafford. And the low point, Ryan Tannehill.
Yeah, that's an interesting one. Our model right now is telling us Deshaun Watson against Oakland is a really good call. I love what you said about Matthew Stafford on DraftKings. He's definitely my play. On FanDuel, Matthew Stafford is the fifth most expensive quarterback. $7,700 Tags, more expensive than Kyler Murray. I mean, I guess he should be, but I don't think there's as much value as there is in Gardner Minshew Tags, who's the 24th most expensive quarterback on the slate. Our consensus projections have him in the top 10. And he's been really solid throughout the season. He's got 16-plus points in every game except for against that Saints defense that was just on fire. I know you like this Jets defense a little bit, and they have been playing better football. They've had a really tough schedule, now they're coming into an easy schedule. But Gardner Minshew, I mean, he's almost a lock to hit value this week.
I don't know. I mean, that's the thing is, like, looking at the Jets, like, there's been one quarterback, and it was back in week two, who has thrown for more than 7.3 yards per attempt. And that was Baker Mayfield, and that's largely in part to do with Odell Beckham taking that 80-plus yard pass to the house. It was a lot of that was done after the catch. But outside of that, I mean, no quarterback has finished inside the top 12 against the Jets this year. They have presented somewhat of high floor, and Minshew has kind of done that, but he's looked like crap the last couple weeks, and that's why it's hard for me to trust Minshew. I just feel like Tannehill's a safer bet this week, and is Tannehill cheaper than Minshew?
They're the same exact price.
Yeah, I would much rather play Tannehill. So I talked about this slightly on the show yesterday, but in case you guys missed it, over the last four games, the Bucs defense have allowed a 67% completion rate, 348.5 passing yards per game, 2.5 passing touchdowns per game, and that's not even including Daniel Jones's 2 rushing touchdowns in that stretch. What makes it even worse is that during that stretch, where they allowed those numbers, is that Daniel Jones, Jared Goff, Teddy Bridgewater, and Kyle Allen were the quarterbacks that they played. They're not getting to the quarterback. They stopped the run. Like, legit, Ryan Tannehill's at home. Again, the game has a 46 over-under, so it's not like it's a very small total. I like Ryan Tannehill. I have him as a top 12 quarterback in season-long leagues, so to see him at 5,100, I think the floor is high.
5,100 is a killer price on DraftKings. That makes a lot of sense. Josh Allen going up against Philadelphia. If it doesn't rain, this is going to be a really good one, but it looks like it's probably going to rain. And so I think that it might be, I mean, it's not going to be like the San Francisco game last week, but it might be enough to slow him down where he's not a lock to hit value. He's pretty expensive too on FanDuel. 7,700. Tags, any other quarterbacks you want to talk about here?
Not really. Like the Watson call, I mean, I get it, but the lack of competence on the other side of the ball could really kill it. And that's why, that's the whole thing with Russell Wilson too, right? That's the only concerns I have for those guys, which is why I'm probably going to wind up with Stafford or Tannehill in cash.
All right, Tags, we're going to move on over to the tight end position. But first, I want to tell you about a contest we have going on right now. We're giving away a signed Julian Edelman Patriots helmet. You can find the details at fantasypros.com/contest. And really what it's going to tell you is it just takes a minute to enter. All you have to do is leave us a review on iTunes or Stitcher and send a screenshot of the review to contest@fantasypros.com. That's fantasypros.com/contest to check out the details for that one. And you guys are going to want to check out Pristine Auction. Tags and I have so much from Pristine Auction because we're always out there surfing for values. And there are great values to be found. I saw a Davante Adams signed Packers helmet yesterday. Tags, it went for $85. Ooh. I mean, I guess people are sleeping on him because he's not playing right now or whatever. But I'm looking right underneath this one. Another Davante Adams one went for $176. I don't understand how there's values like this.
That's crazy. I got Alvin Kamara, so he was coming off a bad game. And I think it seems like that's the best time to get him, right? Is like when they're coming off a bad game. Because I got an Alvin Kamara signed. It's a matte black Saints helmet. And I got it for like $105.
I got a Justice Hill one sitting on my front porch right now, Tags. Got it for $35. Justice Hill? Because everyone's like, oh, Justice Hill's like, he's a backup. He's never going to be the starter. And then when the Justice Hill helmet's worth $5,000, I'm going to be like, yeah, I bought that for $35. I can't wait till he finally plays, man, because he's so good. When he's been on the field, he's looked awesome. But what I'm trying to say is you can find great values on Pristine Auction because there's hundreds, even thousands on certain days of auctions that they have going on, auctions that end. Sign up with the registration code FANTASYPROS. It's free to sign up, and the registration code is going to give you $5 off. And it also tells them we're sending people their way. That way they continue to do these contests like the Julian Edelman one. Everything is guaranteed authentic from only the most trusted sources, and you're definitely going to be able to find something for your cave that you absolutely love. It's pristineauction.com, P-R-I-S-T-I-N-E auction.com. Tags, tight ends, what do you have?
Austin Hooper, log out. I mean,
I'm with you, man.
The Seahawks, again, the Seahawks have been pretty rough against tight ends this year. They have plenty of fantasy points to them. But the thing is again, it's another zone heavy scheme. And the game that we saw Austin Hooper collect 66 yards and 2 touchdowns against the Colts, another zone heavy defense, losing Mohamed Sanu over the middle of the field. There's just so much going on here. And even if it is Matt Schaub, I think this offense is just kind of, it's almost like the check down is Austin Hooper. And it's not like you can say, we have to stop Austin Hooper, guys. Forget about Julio Jones and Calvin Ridley. Screw those guys. You know, no, it's Austin Hooper for me. 5,500 on DraftKings. It's almost like his price hasn't gotten to the elite level. Like, you know, George Kittle, 6,500. I like Kittle quite a bit, but I'm not going to pay $1,000 extra for him.
Hooper's my number two rest of the season tight end tag.
Someone asked me earlier today, they said, would you trade Odell Beckham for Austin Hooper? At first, you want to scoff at that, right? And then I'm like, well, it depends. I mean, if you need wins now, I'm not against it. Because I said on a podcast not long ago that if we were to redraft today,
I'm taking Hooper in the second round.
Yeah, Hooper would be like a late second round pick for me. And Beckham falls there.
Beckham's right around there. He's probably mid second, late second round. But if you need a tight end, I mean, I don't think that's a bad trade. That's kind of crazy, but I agree. It's Austin Hooper this week on FanDuel and DraftKings. Our model absolutely loves him on both sites. If you are trying to spend down, is there anyone else you'd consider, or do you just start with Austin Hooper and figure the rest out?
I mean, it's really tough to go down. Hockenson at 35 is not bad in a game that, again, if Detroit throws the ball a little bit more, I do anticipate him being involved. He should have had a touchdown last week in a tough matchup. He kind of freelanced and Stafford broke out of the pocket and he saw Hockenson break free of the coverage. Like, he legitimately left the defender a couple yards behind him. Stafford underthrew the ball in the end zone. Like, legit, it was an easy touchdown and Stafford knew it. He like patted his chest afterwards like, that's my bad, dude. So, I mean, him at 3,500.
When's the last time he has more than 35 receiving yards? Oh, wait, week one. I can't, there's no way I can play him, even at 3,500.
That's exactly why we're paying up for Austin Hooper, because tight end is such a mess, and it's just like, why not get the guaranteed production?
What about $2,800 for Dallas Goedert?
I would rather take Ben Watson, actually, at 3K.
What?
He had 6 targets in his first game with Brady Men. And, I mean, Cleveland has struggled against tight ends. They bring pressure. That's the one thing that Cleveland can do is bring pressure. And if they're bringing pressure, then Ben Watson could be a check down James White as well. But I'm not sitting here telling you I like them.
I like Watson's upside a little bit. But, yeah, it's just Austin Hooper. Let's move on. Let's talk DST. All right. Who do you have at DST? Is this kind of the week where you just see what fits after you build the rest of your lineup? Or do you have somebody that you're targeting?
Yes, I have different price points. It's basically going to come down to how my lineup fills out. But, I mean, off the bat, the first one that stands out to me is the Panthers at 2,400. Like, DraftKings is continually kind of giving you the Panthers. And I don't know why. Like, the defense just continues to rack up sacks, knowing that Jimmy Garoppolo has not been very good. Like, he nearly has as many interceptions as he does touchdowns this year. Hasn't played the best of teams. The Panthers, again, getting after the quarterback, and Garoppolo's without his starting left tackle and starting right tackle. That's obviously an issue. I know the game's in San Francisco. I think that game is going to be one of the lower scoring variety. So at 2,400, I mean, you're looking for like 5-6 points out of them to hit value. Yeah, okay.
The prices on DraftKings are so interesting with DST because they just really challenge you to, hey, if you are willing to take a chance, you can spend $1,500 and get the Raiders. You can spend $1,700 on the Bengals. Mm-hmm. The Bengals, that sounds horrible. But up against Jared Goff, who's a guaranteed multiple turnover guy every single week. I think I might be doing that just so I have the money to spend at wide receiver, man.
I can't do it, dude. I mean, like the Raiders, you could make the case because Deshaun Watson gets sacked quite a bit at 1,500.
We need 4 points. We need 4 points out of Jared Goff.
Yeah, and it's going to allow you to do some bigger things at other positions, which it might be necessary this week, to be honest with you, talking about the receivers and like the running back value, like the guys that we want to pay up for. But the Panthers at 2,400, I could probably make it work. It's just a matter of like paying down at quarterback for sure. But yeah, if you want to pay up a quarterback and get those big name tight end, like there's just, it's hard to find the value really cheap. And I remember in years past, Bobby, for those who have been listening to this show, you know, for the last couple of years, it seemed like we always had cheap running backs to play. It was almost like there was always someone at like 4,800 we could play at running back and be like, you know, but the running back position has become so volatile that you almost need those guys that are guaranteed touches, and it's making everything.
It's not like if a running back gets hurt that you know the backup running back's going to get 20 touches. It's, oh, wait, he might get 12 and the other guy might get 8 and the other guy might get 6.
Exactly. That's where we're at. So it's become a lot tougher to do it. But, you know, we're getting the grip of it. And that's why I'm saying that I refuse to fade Christian McCaffrey ever again.
I'm going Carolina Panthers on FanDuel against San Francisco. $3,500, 18th most expensive DST. I don't think Jimmy G is all that good. I do think the Panthers defense is very good. Tags, let's go GPP, and we'll move a little bit quicker than we usually do. I guess it'll be easier because we only have 2 guys. Who do you like at DST for GPP? Just saying a lot of letters here.
I mean, the Lions at 2,800 are a really good one. Daniel Jones has been a turnover machine lately. I know that they're going to be missing Darius Slay, but again, I mean, that's just more of a game that could turn into a shootout, and if the Giants have to drop back and pass, there could be mistakes there. And then if you want to pay up, like if you're looking to just create some different construction and limit yourself in spending at other positions, I like the Rams quite a bit. The Bengals have been without 3 starting offensive linemen. We know that Andy Dalton can throw a pick 6 or 2. That game is in London, which is typically a sloppy game in Wembley Stadium. So $3,800 for the Rams. I know they're pricey. I get it. But I would assume their ownership is going to be suppressed a little bit with how much you have to kind of pay up at other positions.
I'm going to go down to the Seattle Seahawks. And when I say go down, I mean go all the way up to $4,900. Nobody is going to play them against Atlanta. If Matt Ryan plays, I think this might be better for the Seahawks because he has so many interceptions and he's going to be playing on a bum ankle under pressure all day. I know it's at Atlanta and he's been a lot better against Atlanta, but even if they put up 25 points, if they get 3 interceptions here and take one to the house, we're talking about a GPP winner.
Yeah, I mean, the Seahawks, I mean, they're on the road. Typically, I like to take defenses at home, but I understand it.
All right, tight end position. Do you have a GPP play that you like?
Zach Ertz.
That's a good one.
No, I mean, like, people are down on him. I get it. It's not a good matchup against the Bills. But the fact remains that he has the most targets at the tight end position. Like, that's what we chase at tight end. And knowing that they brought down his price to $5,100, again, with the perception around him right now, knowing that people will go up to Darren Waller, Evan Ingram, Austin Hooper, like George Kittle, if people are paying up for tight end, they're going to kind of just skip over Ertz with how bad he's been, with how much Goddard has been involved. So this could be an opportunity in tournaments to kind of take advantage of that. Because, Bobby, real quick, I do want to mention this. I don't like Carson Wentz this week, but the consensus on him isn't as low as I am. But here, let's pretend that the consensus is right and he's still a borderline QB1, a high-end QB2. Let's pretend that happens. Where is this production coming from? Because Alshon Jeffery is going to be taken up by Tre'Davious White. Nelson Agholor hasn't been targeted at all. Miles Sanders and Jordan Howard have been busts relative. You know, like, it's possible that Zach Ertz kind of has that, you know, 2-touchdown game and people are just like, oh, crap, I missed it.
I mean, I think it's possible. I don't think it's going to happen, though, because I've got Carson Wentz as my QB19 this week against Buffalo.
Yeah, I think I have him in the same exact range.
So, yeah, I think his ECR is 12 or 13. I'm not really understanding that. Plus, it's going to be a sloppy game. Apparently, it's going to be raining in this one as well. So, for me, I've got two plays. Obviously, O.J. Howard. Every single week, he's got a chance at 2 touchdowns. He's an absolute stud. He's been extremely efficient this year. They just haven't used him. And then my very favorite GPP play on the entire slate, any position, if Delanie Walker is out, Jonnu Smith. Man, I love watching this kid play football. You know who he reminds me of, Tags? He reminds me of a young Delanie Walker coming out of, Central Missouri as the wide receiver, and then they transitioned him to tight end. Jonnu Smith is a wide receiver who happens to play tight end, and man, the boy can move.
Jonnu Smith might be a cash consideration if Delanie Walker's out. He's 2,800.
Yeah, I would agree with that.
He's 2,800, dude.
I mean, but the thing is, I can't not play Austin Hooper. So you'd have to be putting Jonnu Smith in your flex.
I'm just thinking outside the box here. If you don't want to pay up for Hooper, 2,800 for Jonnu.
So basically you're playing Ryan Tannehill, Corey Davis, and Jonnu Smith.
I'm not kidding. So we have the stack thing at the end, and I was kind of like looking at the stack of the Titans this week in tournaments.
All right, wide receivers. There's a lot of GPP options here. Do you have one that stands out? Let's go 4 or 5, actually.
I mean, Julio is obviously somebody that, you know, 7,700 is not, that's lower than he's typically priced, and I know some people are going to be scared off of him, but he lines up at left wide receiver the majority of the time, and in the slot, you know, I would say about 70% of the time he's at one of those positions, which just means it's away from Shaquille Griffin, and that means Trey Flowers is going to be the one covering him, which is good things for Julio Jones. He can explode. Even if Matt Schaub is under center, Schaub, for those who haven't been playing fantasy football for a long time, Matt Schaub used to throw to Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson was continually like an elite receiver. He was one of the top three wide receivers taken in every fantasy football draft. And even though he didn't score touchdowns, and that's the same kind of
I was about to say,
yeah, that's the same thing around Julio Jones. But the yardage was always there. And Julio, the dude's a freak. He's one of my favorite tournament plays because people are going to be so down on him this week. He's just one of my favorites in tournaments.
I'm going Jacoby Myers. Everyone's excited about Sanu coming. Do you know how hard it is to learn a new offense right when you get there? Jacoby Myers, I think, is going to be the number two. Julian Edelman's banged up too. Jacoby Myers might end up leading this team in targets this weekend against Cleveland. They're implied for 29 points. He's really cheap on both sides. I love Jacoby Myers, the football player, too. I can't wait for him to get in an extended role, and I think it might be this week.
Yeah, I like Jacoby Myers. I'm a little peeved that they did get Mohamed Sanu, because if Josh Gordon was going to go to IR, they were going to let him go. Whatever's going on with Josh Gordon, because it sounds like he's close to healthy.
They said he just wasn't performing well, like he's too slow, and so they don't want him on the team.
I didn't think he looked the same either, to be honest with you. I really didn't. I'm not surprised by that. To put him on IR and now, like, they're going to end up, like, he might go to waivers. Like, there's a whole lot to go on with that story. But I talked about Christian Kirk earlier. I still think that that's, like, an area that you can attack, especially in tournaments. Mike Williams is...
Yes, great one.
He's always, like, the target share that he's getting is so massive. And, I mean, Kyle Fuller and Prince Amukamara are better physically in terms of, like, defending receivers like him. But knowing that Phillip Rivers does trust him, knowing the Bears defense has been, you know, you've been able to move the ball down the field. If the Chargers run game can't get going again, it's like, okay, why not take a shot on a guy that he has 2-touchdown upside?
DK Metcalf for me against Atlanta. I mean, I love the matchup for Tyler Lockett this week, but if DK Metcalf catches 3 touchdowns, it's possible. He's a big old dude. They're going up against Atlanta. Yeah, I think it could happen.
In terms of his air yards, like the dude, like he should have like touchdowns already, and knowing how often Russell Wilson throws touchdowns and the efficiency that he does, yeah, there's going to be an explosion at some point, and this can very well be that game because Atlanta's just terrible. But again, the game script concerns for me with Atlanta, that's the biggest thing. So real quick before we move on back to the running back position, Marvin Jones, I mean, I might go back to that well. His ownership is probably going to be up there a little bit, but the matchup is fantastic.
I was going to mention Marvin Jones. I don't care about the ownership. I mean, I do care. I would like to be contrarian, but in some cases you can't be contrarian. You look at some of these lineups that win the $1 million and it's like they've got 3 of the most popular guys. Yeah, Marvin Jones is going to be 15-20% owned, but If he goes off, it doesn't matter. If you don't have Marvin Jones in your lineup, you lose. I'm going to give one more name. This is one that you put on my radar, and I'm really excited about the call. Trevor Davis.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
If Tyrell Williams is out, and I think that he will be.
Yeah, I mean, even if he plays, it's possible that that Davis is like a big part. But Davis played a whole bunch of snaps, like more snaps than any wide receiver on the team. Zay Jones was inactive last week, which means he's not grasping the playbook as fast as they wanted him to. So even if he does play, it's going to be in a limited role. Keelan Doss is a guy they cut off the roster. Like, they're going to all these guys they don't. And Trevor Davis kind of came onto the roster and started, you know, getting playing time right away. So against the Texans, who might be down three starting cornerbacks, it's
and we're bad to begin with.
That's like a deep. That's like the Hail Mary one that you throw in there, like in the millionaire tournaments. That's going to be like 1% owned.
Yep. So if you have Trevor Davis and Todd Gurley, basically you're going to be rich this week.
Maybe.
Is that what you're saying? All right, let's go running back. You got Todd Gurley first. Who else do you have?
I like Gurley. Marlon Mack is a great tournament play.
Love it.
Yeah, I don't like him in cash because he's just too game script dependent. He's not seeing enough targets, even though he did see three targets last week. But it's 6,100. They're making you pay for him. There's a lot of running backs around that range that are going to pivot ownership. And this game has his game script all over him. They're 5.5-point favorites. T.Y. Hilton's going to be taken out of the game by Chris Harris Jr., provided he's still on the team, because there's talks that they may trade him. But yeah, Marlon Mack is fantastic. Todd Gurley, as I mentioned, Todd Gurley is someone that could be a touchdown game against Cincinnati. They're making you pay for him too. That's like the biggest thing. Like, with the opportunity that Todd Gurley has had, he shouldn't cost more than 6,500, and he's 7,400. But again, that's what's going to give you the low ownership, because he is playing the Bengals, a team that can't stop anything right now. And I think, Bobby, one of my favorites is James White. White is showing as my...
For GPP, huh?
Yeah, he's actually one of my number one values in terms of both cash and tournaments, like in projected ceiling, because he is a guy that has two touchdown output in his probability, where it's like he's due, like overdue for touchdowns, and he almost scored them last week. They could come this week against Cleveland.
I think that's a really good call. Melvin Gordon tags against Chicago.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
I know it's gonna hurt you to hear this, and I know all the Melvin Gordon owners are like, this guy sucks, how can you mention him? Well, he was on pace for 2,100 yards last year. He's really good. I know Forrest Lamp is hurt. This offensive line hasn't been playing as well, but Akeem Hicks is hurt in Chicago too. Melvin Gordon could score two or three touchdowns for 100-plus yards this week.
Absolutely. 5,400. I mean, the Bears, no. I've said it. They've allowed 5 rushing touchdowns in the last 2 games, and they had allowed 5 rushing touchdowns in the previous 20 games. So this defense is reeling without Akeem Hicks.
What about Sony Michel, who has almost 60 fantasy points in the last 3 games?
No, he's not exciting to me at all. Like, he
was exciting last week when he scored 3 touchdowns on 42 yards.
That's exactly the point, is that he needs to score 3 touchdowns in order to hit tournament.
Right, and there's a chance that he does because he plays for the Patriots. That's all I'm saying, man.
I'm not banking on it with Sony. I'm done with him.
Okay, Josh Jacobs is a good one as well. Let's go to the quarterback position. Who do you like?
Quarterback tournament plays. I mean, they're kind of similar to how I feel about...
No one really actually cares what you have to say because they're waiting for my Aaron Rodgers pick again.
Nice. Well,
I'm just messing with you, man.
I will say that Mitch Trubisky at 4,900.
You took mine, man. You took mine. I know you thought I was going to make fun of you, but you took mine. I was going to go Mitch Trubisky because he has a 30-point game in him.
He does, and the Chargers have not been the same defense. Like, they're just not. They're not a very good defense right now, and you can't attack them both on the ground and through the air. And I know Nagy's talking about, you know, we have to run the ball more. And I do think that they're going to.
Why does he only have 21 rushing yards this year, by the way?
That's like the biggest like question mark. It's like, what are you guys doing? Like, create more design runs.
Like, let the man loose. Let him run for 80 yards. He can.
Yeah, and he's only 4,900. Like, so, I mean, you're not paying much for him. Even if he has like a 20-point game where he doesn't go bananas, even if it's a 20-point game, that is fine at 4,900. Like, that's going to allow you to do some things in your lineup that most people can't.
I would agree with that. I'm also going to say Jameis Winston. I know Tennessee is not a defense that you want to pick on. As a result, Jameis Winston is going to be like 0.2% owned. Jameis Winston with Chris Godwin, Mike Evans, OJ Howard, he can go off for 4 or 5 touchdowns. He can throw the ball 50 times if they're playing from behind. And I don't care if he throws 5 interceptions. He can rack up 400 yards, and that's going to count for something. So I think Jameis Winston's always a good GPP call. Tags, let's go lock of the week. And since you had the first pick in the draft, I'm taking the first pick in lock of the week. I'm taking Austin Hooper.
I like it. I'm going to go Christian McCaffrey. I mean...
I thought I was taking your guy and you were going to be all mad, but no reaction. That's a bummer.
No, I want you guys to know that even though it is San Francisco, even though they're ranked as the second best run defense in the league, we talked about on the show, we talked about who they've played, who they haven't played, and what McCaffrey has done, what he hasn't done, which is not much. There's no way that I'm not playing Christian McCaffrey.
Speaking of reactions, by the way, why did you not even respond to my Manscaped read yesterday?
I was not in the recording room when Bobby did that, so
I had a lot of questions like, how was Tags not laughing about that when you said that he was sexy?
Yeah, if I were in the room, you better believe I would have been laughing. Like, I was dying laughing the entire time I listened back to that episode because, like, I was told about that read, and then I actually showed my wife, and she was dying laughing too, so I challenged everyone to go back and actually listen to that and not laugh because it's impossible.
45-minute mark on yesterday's show if you missed it for some reason, and... It was maybe my proudest moment in fantasy football analysis history, just because, like, you know, one of the reasons we do that read after the show is just because sometimes you might laugh if you're reading it. I did that in one take. I'm so proud of myself, Tags.
You should be, man. That was impressive.
All right. So I got Hooper. You got Christian McCaffrey, which is wrong. It should be Saquon Barkley, but it's your pick. So go ahead. Do whatever you want. Stack of the week.
My stack of the week. Instead of going with the Titans one, which we've talked about a little bit, I'm going to go with the Lions stack and say that Matthew Stafford, Kenny Galladay, Marvin Jones, and then you can come back on the other side of that game and grab Golden Tate as well. I believe that there is just so much value to be had in that game. I think it's going to be one of the higher scoring varieties. Like, the Lions games have... Like, we always projected them to, like, be a lower games that project for lower play volume, but they haven't been that way this year. And knowing that they just lost Kerryon, I can't imagine. And knowing that Ty Johnson is going to be a popular play because he is 4,900, it's going to give you lower ownership on some of the other guys that you can play in this game.
I'm not trying to get any kind of reaction. This is my real analysis. I'm going to have multiple lineups with this stack. Matt Schaub, Julio Jones, Calvin Ridley. They're going to be, if Matt Ryan is out, regardless, even if Matt Ryan plays, they're going to be playing from behind against Seattle at home in the dome. He's got some incredible weapons. If Matt Schaub passes the ball 40 times with those weapons, he's going to hit value. And if, you know, if he's hitting value, Julio Jones is going to hit value. Calvin Ridley is going to hit value, and nobody is going to have that. Yeah, if Matt Schaub gets 350 yards and 3 or 4 touchdowns and nobody has him, you win $1 million.
Yeah, I mean, so you're not going to put in Hooper with that stack?
Hooper would be great too. You could use any two of those three guys.
Yeah, that's basically, I mean, I would probably say Hooper and Julio stacked with Schaub. That kind of makes some sense.
Yeah, I'm really surprised that you're not throwing up or anything.
No, I mean, I said that if Matt Ryan's out.
I thought you were going to be mean to me.
I said if Matt Ryan is out, Schaub, like in two quarterback leagues, you could probably play him pretty confidently. He should finish with a top 20 performance.
Yeah. All right, Tags. That's all for today's show. And I want to say thanks to the sponsor of today's show. Actually, we had two sponsors of today's show. I apologize. One of them was FanDuel. Remember, you can get in on the fun by going to FanDuel.com/TagsandBobby to compete with us. And also, if you're a new user at FanDuel, you're going to get $20 in site credit when you deposit $20. And also thank you to Pristine Auction, first of all, for letting us put on the Julian Edelman signed helmet giveaway at fantasybros.com/contest. And also for getting me all this stuff I've got in my office. I love you, Pristine Auction. And I can't wait to go open that package on my porch and get the Justice Hill sitting on my desk right next to me, waiting for it to turn into a $3,000 item. All right. And also, I wanted to remind you guys that Dan Harris is now hosting the Betting Pros podcast. You can find that at bettingpros.com/podcast. And he is hilarious. If you listen to the Sunday night show, you already know this. For Mike Tagliere, I'm Bobby Sylvester. Thanks for listening and enjoy your football. I just wanted you to watch me dissolve.
I'm Diosa.
And I'm Mala.
We're the creators of Locatora Radio, a radiophonic novela, which is a fancy way of saying...
A podcast. Welcome to Locatora Radio Season 9.
Love at first listen.
This season, we're falling in love with podcasting all over again.
With new segments, correspondence, and a new sound.
Listen to Locatora Radio as part of the Michael Dura Podcast Network,
available on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Carol G.
Juan Gabriel.
Christina Aguilera.
What do these three have in common?
You mean apart from impeccable style, chart-topping canciones, and drama?
Facts, yes, all of the above are correct, but most importantly, they're some of the biggest Latin icons in the world. And they're just a few of the game-changing Latin stars we're covering in Becoming an Icon Season 2. Listen to Becoming an Icon on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.